Thank you for joining with us here at Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen in County Fermanagh. And wherever you are listening in online, our prayer is that God's Word will be a blessing and an encouragement to your heart and to your soul this evening. Now, you can listen in online to our ministry of the Word of God every Lord's Day, that's every Sunday at 12 noon, and then also at 7 p.m., and then also every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Now, there's just a few announcements I'd like to leave before our congregation this evening. First of all, this coming Friday night, our youth fellowship are planning an outing. That's Friday night, the 12th of June, down in Castle Archdale Country Park. And all young people are welcome. And for details of the young people, contact our youth leader, Mr. Ian Moore. Social distancing rules will need to be observed as well. But do remember that, the youth outing on Friday night, the 12th of June, to Castle Archdale Country Park, just a few miles out of town here in Enniskillen. Then next Sunday evening, next Lord's Day evening, that's the 14th of June at 7 p.m., our session has organized a drive-in gospel service. And that will be in the car park of the Farmer's Mart, which has been kindly granted here in Enniskillen, in Lackboy, on the old Temple Road on the outskirts of the town. And do please pray for that. We would encourage you to make it known and do all you can to invite and encourage others to come along. And if you're able to attend, then we'll be delighted to see you. And do try, if at all possible, come along and join with us there and witness the open air for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask that all vehicles be parked by 6:50, that's by 10 to 7. We would also ask that all people would remain in their car and observe social distancing rules. Please note that there will be no toilet facilities open, so do remember that, please. That's next Sunday evening, the 14th of June at 7 o'clock, drive-in gospel service in the Farmer's Mart car park that's been kindly granted at Lackboy in the old Temple Road. And then also on Sunday, the 21st of June, was to be our Children's Day services. So we're going to have a Children's Day service that morning. That's the online message at 12 noon with our sister, Miss Gillian Gillespie, who leads the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. Also, if there is anyone needing or requiring a pastoral visit and you'd like me to call with you, provided we can socially distance, whether it be in your garden or yard, and no doubt if the weather permits that, then do contact me and I'll be glad to arrange that with you at your convenience. And then as a church and a congregation, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to Mr. Jeffrey Scott, wife June and family, and to Mrs. Olive Maxwell and husband Colin and family in the passing of an aunt. And we assure those families and that family circle of our prayers and our sympathies at this time of bereavement and of loss. And that's all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to just seek the Lord in a word of prayer and then ask for God's blessing upon the ministry of His Word to our hearts this evening. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we rejoice afresh, O God, tonight in the goodness of the Lord. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy good hand of mercy upon us even throughout this Thy day. We thank Thee, O God, for the privilege of one day and seven when we can set aside the things of time and sense, as it were, and we can gather around the Word of God. Though we may not be able to meet, as it were, together as a congregation in the house of God, we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art not bound to bricks and mortar. And, O God, our prayer is that Thou wilt just draw near to us wherever we might be this evening, in our homes or wherever, gathered around the Word of God and around the open Bible, we pray. Outpour Thy Spirit upon us. Grant us, Lord, a real sense of Your presence, and grant us that we might know and hear the speaking voice of the Lord. We thank Thee afresh, O God, this evening for Christ the Redeemer, the Savior of sinners. We thank Thee for the good news of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank Thee for the perfect life of Christ. We thank Thee for the atoning death of Christ, that He was wounded for our transgressions, and that He was bruised for our iniquities. And Father, we thank Thee for the precious blood that He shed, that blood that cleanseth from all sin, that blood that makes us whiter than the snow. And, O God, as we come to Thee this night, we pray for Thy blessing upon the Word of God to our hearts. Bless every believer, every child of God that would listen in, encourage and strengthen and edify the people of God. For any, Lord, that might be cold or backslidden of heart, give that restoring touch, O God, afresh in their life. And for any, Lord, who would listen in unseen, be the old or be the young, Lord, speak to them even today. May they taste and see that the Lord is good, O God, we ask. Bless our congregation here, we pray. Bless this town of Enniskillen, this county of Fermanagh. Bless every faithful servant of God, wherever Thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. We pray that Thou wilt bless it, and that Thou wilt visit this area, Lord, with revival power and with revival grace. Bless across our land, across our nation, indeed across the continents of the world. Bless every faithful ambassador for the Lord. Remember, O God, our missionaries. We pray for Thy hand of blessing upon them. Those at home and abroad, encourage them greatly in the Lord. And be their helper and be their strength, O God, we ask. Do bless our congregation here. Unite every family circle, O God, in the Lord. Remember those especially who are aged and infirm. They're dealing with bodily sickness and infirmity. Lord, bless them and minister to them. Those that are lonely and isolated, Lord, be near them and encourage them. Again, Lord, we give Thee thanks for Thy restraining hand upon this virus in recent weeks. And Lord, we pray that in Thy mercy that that would continue. We pray for healing of those that have been afflicted with it and those that have been bereaved through it. Give them great comfort. Give wisdom, Lord, to our government and dealing with the situation, we pray. And Lord, our prayer is that soon in the will of the Lord, that Thy house will be opened again for the preaching of the word of the Lord, we pray. Bless every aspect of the work here, we pray. Again, Lord, we think of the forthcoming drive-in service. Bless that outreach, we ask. Use it to the furtherance of the gospel and of Thy kingdom. Bless the Bethel Children's Crusade, the work of our Sunday school, our Bible class, our youth fellowship, and all who labor in the work of God here, we pray. Bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them by the mighty hand of the Lord. Be with us now, we pray, as we read Thy word, Lord. Speak through Thy word. As we preach Thy word, we realize, O God, our weakness, our inability. Yet, Lord, we thank Thee for the promise that our sufficiency is of God and not of us. Give help, we pray, to preach Thy word, O God. Give liberty and clarity and plainness in the preaching of Thy word, and that through the going forth of Thy word this night, that some soul or souls would be made wise unto salvation. Remember again all those that mourn and grieve. Give comfort to their hearts, and may they know a gracious sense of the presence of the Lord, even in their time of need, we pray. Abide with us and do us good, and glorify the Savior in all that will be said and done. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the New Testament book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. You'll find Titus in the latter part of the New Testament. After 1 and 2 Timothy, come to Titus. Just tucked away before the book of Philemon and Hebrews. And we're reading tonight from Titus chapter 2 and the verse number 1. And I encourage you in your own home or ever to look up the Bible with us and follow along in the Bible reading. Indeed, praying that as you read that God will bless His word to your heart. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, disobedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 15. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. Now, the verse of scripture I want us to look at this evening is verse number 11 there of Titus chapter 2. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men." Back on the 8th of May earlier this year, our nation was to mark the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II in the continent of Europe. Though undeserving of God's mercy as a nation, we can give thanks to God for that merciful deliverance. Also in the providential mercy of God, there are two other important dates that really help pave the way for that victory on the 8th of May, 1945. One of these was the miracle of Dunkirk 80 years ago, when over some 300,000 British and French soldiers were rescued off the beaches at Dunkirk from the might of the approaching German army. That took place over a period of 9 days between the 27th of May and the 4th of June, 1940. Then the other important date is D-Day, the 6th of June, 1944. Whenever the Allied forces landed on the Normandy beaches to liberate Western Europe from Nazi Germany at that particular time. Yes, in all of these events as a nation, we can thank God for his deliverance from tyranny and from arbitrary powers. Now, such past deliverances as a nation would remind us of an even greater deliverance that the Bible tells us of. And that deliverance is that of God's salvation for sinners. And mention is made of this particular deliverance here in our text in Titus chapter 2 in the verse number 11. Where it says, "Therefore the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men." In this chapter here before us, Paul is writing to Titus. Titus was a leader in the church in Crete. And in verse 1 of this chapter, he tells him to speak sound doctrine. He says there, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." In verse 7 of the chapter, he tells them there also to be an example of good works before others. He says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Then in verse 11, he reminds Titus of the great deliverance for sinners of salvation. And by this he does when he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Tonight, dear friend, as you listen into God's word, it is this great deliverance for sinners through God's salvation that is spoken of here in our verse that I want us to look at this evening. And our prayer is, if you're not yet saved, that even tonight you'll come to find and know and experience that great deliverance. Notice, first of all, here with me, the need of this deliverance. We can say that man needs the deliverance of God's salvation because of the awful ruin of his sin. If you look at Titus chapter 2, there in the verse number 12, You'll see there that that verse, it speaks about ungodliness. It speaks about worldly lusts. And this really speaks to us about man's sin. It speaks to us about his failure to love God, his failure to obey the very commandments of God. Yes, it also speaks of man's sin and failure in respect to his relationship with his fellow man. Again, look at Titus chapter 3 in the verse number 3. There it highlights man by speaking of him in a sinful condition as one, he says, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And that really speaks of man in his sin and in his broken relationship, not only with God, but with his fellow man. It's important to understand that sin and its terrible, indeed awful consequences is something that concerns all mankind, whoever he is, wherever he is to be found, whatever color of skin he has. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. There he makes a sweeping statement about all mankind, all descendants of Adam's race. He says there in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, and no, not one. And that applies to all mankind. Yes, all of us are guilty of sin. All of us are guilty of ungodliness and worldly lusts, as it speaks here in the passage before us, because we've all been born into this world with a sinful heart and a sinful nature. You think about what the Word of God says about the heart of man. Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 9. There it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And this sinful nature is something that you and I have inherited from Adam after he fell into sin and took the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time. Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 12, it says there, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, if you and I are to be honest, we must say with David in Psalm 51, behold, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all born into this world, sinners by nature, sinners by practice, with a heart that is a bias toward that which is contrary to God. Years ago, people used to argue as to whether the world was round or flat. Well, we do know that it is round. In fact, the Word of God tells us so. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, that verse there speaks of God, and it says, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. There we're told that the world is round. You know, the Word of God also tells us that this world is crooked, that it is perverse, and that it lieth in wickedness. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, the world there is described as being crooked and perverse. In 1 John 5, verse 19, we're told there that the whole world lieth in wickedness. In other words, the world lieth in the lap of the wicked one, the devil himself. My, this is all due to man's sin, man's waywardness, his transgression. My, as God is one who is perfectly holy, then our sin is something that provokes the wrath of God. Understand that. Sin provokes the anger of God. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says there, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There we see how man's sin provokes the wrath of God. What does that wrath mean? That wrath means separation from God in this life. Our sin separates us from God because God is holy. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says there, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. This separation also leads to physical death in this life. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, it says the wages of sin is death. Whenever Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit, they were to die physically. But my, this separation also means eternal punishment and hell after this life as well. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Dear friend, if you go on living in your sin, and you die in your sin without God's salvation, then you will most surely perish forever in a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Yes, we see here the need of this deliverance. But notice secondly here from our text, notice the source of this deliverance. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. Notice those words there, the grace of God. There you see how God's grace is the source of salvation for sinners. It's the fountainhead, it's the spring of salvation for sinners. What does God's grace mean? God's grace really means the undeserving, or if you like, the unmerited favor of God towards sinners. In grace, God is one who has provided deliverance from sin through the person and through the work of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of Christ and God's grace in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the verse 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And God has provided salvation for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's provided that salvation and grace through his unmerited favor toward you and I. In Titus chapter 2 and the verse 13, there Christ is described as the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And Christ was no ordinary person. He was the sinless, spotless, flawless Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Hebrews 7 verse 26 speaks of Christ and says, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For he was holy, harmless, undefiled, as separate from sinners. And as the Son of God, Christ went willingly to the cross of Calvary. And there he gave up his life as an atonement for man's sin. You look at verse 14 there of Titus chapter 2. It speaks of Christ and says of Christ, who gave himself for us. That speaks of his sacrifice upon the cross for sinners. In John 10 verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks of Christ and says, he endured the cross, he despised the shame. Yes, by a sacrifice upon the cross, he made a way for man to be saved, to be delivered from the awful ruin and malady of a sin. On the 1st of July here in our own province of Northern Ireland, we remember the awful sacrifice of thousands in the Battle of the Somme in World War I. Also on the 11th of November, our nation at large remembers the sacrifice of two world wars and other international conflicts around the world. Well, the greatest sacrifice in the history of this world, right from the very dawn of time itself, it is that of Christ upon the cross. He who was wounded for our transgressions, he who was bruised for our iniquities, he who was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For on that awful cross of pain, of agony, of ignominy, and shame, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless, flawless Son of God, he suffered upon himself the wrath of God for hell-deserving sinners like you and like me. The Bible speaks of Christ and says of Christ on the cross that he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. In other words, he bore upon himself the punishment, the judgment of hell that we deserve for our sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, it speaks of Christ. The Bible says, but now once in the end of the world if he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appeared, he went to the cross, he died, he cried out, it is finished, to put away sin, to make a way of deliverance, of salvation from sin by the sacrifice of himself and by the sacrifice of none other. Friend, as you think upon Christ's death, as you think upon his sacrifice upon the cross, there you see God's amazing grace, the amazing grace of God toward sinners, sinners who have rebelled against God, sinners of Adam's fallen race. What does the Bible say in Ephesians 2 verse 8? It says, for by grace are you saved. The hymn writer says, saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful man, and Jesus died for me. On the death of Christ upon the cross, you see the grace of God in salvation. Yes, the source of this deliverance, the need of this deliverance. Notice thirdly here from our text here in Titus 2 verse 11. Notice the effects of this deliverance. Titus 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bring of salvation have appeared to all men. Notice those final words there, to all men. And here you see the wonder of God's grace. Here you see that God's grace is marvelous. Such is God's grace that he offers salvation to all mankind. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 6, it says, they're all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And that reminds us of this fact that God offers salvation to all mankind. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, Christ was the true light, which light of every man that cometh into the world. God offers salvation to this world through Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it speaks of God and says of God, who will have all men to be saved, all kinds of sinners to be saved, and shows us that God offers salvation freely to all, no matter who they are in this world, no matter who they are in this society. Friend, as you listen in tonight, let me say this, whatever your background in life is, whatever your color, your creed, your class, and society might be, let me say this, that God has a way of deliverance from sin for you. What is that way? That way is this, that if you willingly repent of your sin and you turn by faith to Christ alone for salvation, then by his grace, God will save you from your sin. Indeed, the hymn writer says, all the fitness he requireth is for you to feel your need of him. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Sometimes on the news or the media, you perhaps hear of refugees being barred or turned away from a certain country or a certain destination that they're trying to get to. Well, let me say this, no sinner is ever barred from coming to Christ for salvation, whoever he is, whoever she is, none will be turned away. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37, Christ is speaking. And he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you come to Christ for salvation, I tell you this upon the authority of the Word of God, Christ will not turn you away. Listen to what our verse says. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. No matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or has been, no matter what your background is, God freely offers salvation and grace to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, see here the wonderful, marvelous grace of God, even in salvation. But notice one final thought here in connection with our verse. Notice the blessings that flow from this deliverance of salvation. What are the blessings that flow from that deliverance? Well, there is the blessing of pardon from all sin. Look again at verse 14 there of Titus chapter 2. It speaks of Christ and says, of Christ who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And what does that mean? It means this: whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, God forgives all your sin, not just one or two sins or some sins, but all your sins are forgiven by God. Sins of omission, sins of commission, your old sinful nature is forgiven by Almighty God. Hebrews 8 verse 12 speaks of the Lord and salvation, and He says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's His promise to you if you trust Him. He says, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. The hymn writer says, oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He have made me free. And there the hymn writer was rejoicing in the fact that through faith in Christ, their sins were forgiven, pardoned by God. Yes, there's the blessing of pardon, but there's also the blessing of power. Power to live for God. Look again at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Says of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That speaks of power to live for God when you trust Christ as Savior. You see, whenever you trust Christ as Savior, God enables you to live for His glory, His honor, through the mighty power of God the Holy Spirit. Notice the testimony in the life of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of this change here in his own life in Titus chapter 3, in verses 3 to 5. He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And there He was testifying of how God had changed his life by the power of God. And I tell you this, God's salvation is power also to change your life. It is power also to transform your life and to enable you to live for God and to serve God in your day and generation. There's the blessing of pardon, the blessing of power to live for God. But then there's also the blessing of a glorious prospect for those who trust Christ, to have this salvation, this deliverance through faith in Christ. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13. There it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn over to Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. Notice what it says there, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, you can look forward to the return of Christ. You can look forward to the return of Christ with joy. And to the great prize, the great prospect of everlasting life, eternal life in God's heaven. What a place heaven will be. In heaven there will be no sin, there will be no death, no sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no separation. There will be no coronavirus there. It will be a place of eternal fellowship and joy with the Lord and all His redeemed church down throughout the ages of time. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 23, Paul spoke of how he was going He says, to be with Christ, which is far better. Whenever you are saved by God's grace, through faith in Christ, why, this is your glorious prospect as well. You can look forward to the return of Christ. You can look forward to heaven, to being with Christ, which is far better. No judgment to fear for the child of God. My, for the child of God, there is eternal life, eternal glory, eternal blessing awaiting them in heaven forever and ever and ever. You know, there was once a man, and he dreamed that he was standing at the guarded gate of heaven. And he saw a man being refused entry to heaven because he was depending upon his riches for salvation. He saw another man being refused entry into heaven because he was depending upon his self-righteousness for salvation. And then he saw another man being refused entry into heaven because he was depending upon his church and his good works for salvation. But then in his dream he saw another man as well coming to the gate of heaven. And as he approaches the gate of heaven, he cries out, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And to him the gate of heaven opened. And a voice said, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." In other words, that man was welcomed into heaven because he was depending upon the blood of Christ alone for his salvation. You know, that dream really highlights the great truth of the gospel. Friend, that truth is this, that if you come by faith to Christ and trust him as Savior, have your sins put away, forgiven by his precious blood, then you'll be saved. Then you too will be afforded a place in God's heaven. Oh, in light of that great truth, I urge you this very night, whoever you are unsaved, to come by faith to Christ and to trust him as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We come to him tonight by faith and trust him. Look forward to the coming of Christ and the great prospect of heaven's glory forever and ever. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us around the Word of God. Bless thy word to our hearts. We thank that the grace of God and salvation have appeared to all men. We thank that that salvation has been purchased and provided for us through the atoning death and sacrifice of Christ. And Lord, for any listening in online even tonight, and Lord, they're not saved, oh God, speak to them now wherever they are. May they come in faith and repentance unto the Lord and trust him whom to know is life eternal. Answer prayer. When the voice of man is silent, speak on to our hearts. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be our portion this night and always. Amen.